Well, if you'll turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, we're going to get there in a minute, but you can go ahead and find it since it's, you know, somewhere there after Psalms but before Matthew, so it might take you a few minutes for some of you. But I want us to think about, as you're turning there, this idea of death. And I wonder if any of you have ever met someone who's actually died before, you know, after they've died. Most of us haven't. Usually we meet them before they die. But there are those few people who have those near-death experiences, right? And they die, and then they see a tunnel of light, and then they come back, you know, and they talk about it. Well, I wonder what their stories would be like. You know, I wonder what they would say. Were they glad that they're back, you know, back to life? You know, are they happy to be alive again? Do they wish they were still dead? Maybe they do. You know, maybe the burden of life is too much. I wonder if they appreciate life in a different way. You know, maybe life has a new meaning for them, a new purpose for them. You know, on TV, they seem to highlight these experiences all the time. And there's a popular show that Tara and I kind of like watching called Lost. And some of you may have heard of the show Lost. It's about this plane that crashes, and it's near this tropical island that's somewhere in the middle of nowhere. No one can find it. And there's all these survivors. And this island is very strange, and a lot of strange things happen. And at first, these people, you know, they get off the plane, the wreckage, and they're standing there, and a lot of them are very happy to be alive. Sure, they're sort of upset. Where are we? We're lost. We just survived a plane crash. That's pretty traumatic. But they seem to look at life in a different way. At first, life seems to have a new meaning for them, a new perspective. They seem to appreciate it in a new way. But over time, as they continue on, and I don't even know what season they're in. You know, they can never be found. It's always like we're in the 10th season or something of continuing on this island and not being found. But over time, this new embracement of life seems to fade away. It seems to fade away, and the taste of surviving death, it seems to wear off. And they become a little bit restless, a little bit discontent, a little bit frustrated with life. And I wonder, for us to think about this, I want us to think about this. Are we attentive and alive in our lives? Attentive and alive to our calling, this perspective. You know, we talked about being dead to sin and alive in Christ. Are we alive in Christ? Or have we become like these survivors? Are we restless and discontent and maybe frustrated about life? Well, in the Bible, we find that the prophet Ezekiel was called by God to proclaim the word of God. That was his calling. That was what he was supposed to do with his life. But the calling was often very difficult, very challenging, very discouraging. And in one event, which we're going to look at this morning, God asked Ezekiel to preach to a pile of bones. I mean, it's not even a congregation of people. They're just bones lying out in this field. Talk about a difficult task. In a vision, God brings him to this valley of dry bones, and they're bleached bones. We find that the bones are the entire nation of Israel, just laying out in this field. And we're going to turn to Ezekiel, starting right in verse 1, and we're going to read about this valley of dry bones. And this is the word of the Lord to us this morning, starting right in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. So they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We ask now that you would set it alive in our hearts, that our minds and our hearts would be open to hear and to listen to what you have to say to us this morning. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. You know, there's a real picture of an amazing and powerful God here. There's a God who, in one hand, is a judging God. He holds judgment in one hand and he holds mercy in the other hand. He's a God who graciously breathes life into his people and he calls them from the dead and he raises them back to life. He's a God who is desired, who desires to be known by his people. He is the one who provides life to the lifeless. What's even more amazing in this picture is how God brings his message, what God uses. He uses this man, Ezekiel, just this broken, fallen person. Nothing really spectacular about him. He's not supernatural, just this man he uses to bring his message. You know, God calls Ezekiel. He gave him a message to deliver, and he enabled the message to transform lives through the power of his Spirit. And as one who believes in this work, his resurrection, Christ's resurrection from the dead, and his continuing reign today, I believe God calls his people to himself. He calls us to himself, and he desires us to know him. He exists in relationship within the Trinity, so we believe that he wants to be in relationship with us. It's a calling that provides comfort, it provides hope, and it provides a reason for living. But he doesn't simply call us for the sake of calling, does he? No, he calls us with a purpose. He calls us with a purpose in mind. You know, I have a friend who just can't stand talking on the phone. Maybe you're like that. You know, you don't like talking on the phone. You know, and making phone calls is one of the most dreaded things in this person's life. I mean, just doesn't want to do it. So whenever they make a call, it's always with a very specific purpose. It's never just to, you know, call someone up just to chat, you know, just to shoot the breeze for a few minutes. No, it's always, here's my purpose in calling, talk for a few minutes, and get off the phone. Doesn't like to call, you know, but it's always with a purpose in mind. You know, I think that God is like that with us. When he calls us with a purpose, with a specific purpose in mind. You know, when God called Ezekiel here in this dry valley, and in the rest of the book, you see all these pictures where Ezekiel is being called to do these different things. He called him with a specific purpose. But it wasn't always an easy call, was it? In fact, in the beginning of Ezekiel, God actually says to him, "You shall speak my words, even if they don't listen to you." So I'm calling you to preach, but they're not going to listen to you half the time. But that's what you're called to do. I'm calling you to do this, whether or not it's easy. When it's hard, you got to keep doing it. He calls us with a purpose, but it's not always an easy call. You know, God gives Ezekiel a message to deliver to inanimate objects in this passage, objects which only respond by something working on the outside of them. Some sort of supernatural power has to work on their lives. And we believe that's the Holy Spirit. And we see that through this passage. You know, the call is difficult. And responding to his call continues, as Christ says, a continual dying to yourself, a continual dying to your own desires. Yet in light of the difficulty, in light of the struggle, God provides the necessary means to carry out his calling. When God takes Ezekiel to the valley and he asks him to speak to these bones, he doesn't just leave him there, you know, hanging. Good luck. Have fun with those bones. You know, you got to preach to them. Figure it out. No, he reveals. He reveals the way that Ezekiel is to do that. He says, preach to the bones. Tell them what I am saying. He says, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." So God gives those he has called the tools for which to work with. He impassions our hearts. He enlightens our minds. In the case of Ezekiel, it was a specific message to a specific people. So let me ask you again, are you alive? Are you attentive to what God is calling you to? Or have you become restless and discontent? You've probably heard about the man who was lost on an island. This is different from the TV show, just in case there's any confusion. But there's this guy lost on the island, and he's waiting for God to rescue him. You know, he's waiting around, kicking the sand around, building sandcastles, waiting for God to rescue him. Well, one day a boat comes across the horizon, and, you know, comes up to the shore. They send a little mini boat to the shore to pick him up, and he says, "Nope, I'm waiting for God to rescue me. I'm going to stay right here. God's going to rescue me." Well, the next day, a helicopter comes and sees him and lands, because he saw a sandcastle, of course. And it lands down, and they're getting out of the helicopter to come over and get this man. And he says, nope, waiting for God to rescue me. Go back, you can fly away. Well, of course, that night the man dies, and he goes to heaven. He's standing before God, and he says, God, why didn't you rescue me? I mean, what's going on? You know, I've been sitting on this island. Why didn't you rescue me? Well, we know what God's going to say to the man. You know, we know what his answer is going to be. You know, the man was so blinded by his expectation of how God would rescue him that he missed the reality of God's provision. He completely missed it. How many of us are like this man? We're wondering when God will show himself to us. We're confused about what he's calling us to. We're like this man often. But I bet the answer lies right in front of us. What are the things that we're gifted in? What enlivens us? What are we passionate about? We must not also forget the importance of the Spirit of God. For it is by His Spirit that we are guided, we are comforted. In the Old Testament, the word for breath and wind and spirit is the same. It's this word, it's kind of a funny word with a guttural thing. It's called ruach. And in the Old Testament, we see that this word is used. It means the same thing for spirit and breath. You know, Genesis 1, it says that the Spirit was hovering over the waters, or the ruach was hovering over the waters. In Genesis 8, after the flood, God says that the wind, or the ruach, came and it blew over the earth and it caused the floodwaters to go away. It's the same word we see here in this valley. Ezekiel is delivering this message to dry bones, and they came together and they stood there, but they were lifeless, weren't they? They just were sort of these skeletons standing around. They were lifeless until the breath, or the ruach of God, was called upon to enter into these corpses. Then and only then did life begin. Only then. The Spirit of God brings life. It brings illumination. It brings enlightenment. It brings understanding. Imagine for a second trying to build a house, but without using a hammer. Or try grilling a hamburger, but with no fire. Can that be done? Try to set a broken bone without a cast or a splint or anything. Try to drive a car without tires. Or even if I tried to preach a sermon but had no point. I think this is like us trying to fulfill our calling, trying to do what God calls us to without the enabling power of the Spirit. You know, someone once said that God's grace can save our souls without our preaching or our proclamation, but our preaching or proclamation cannot save them without God's grace, and that grace must be sought by prayer. When was the last time you prayed for the Spirit to empower you in fulfilling your calling? Or are you simply just going through the motions, you know, just sort of going through routine of life? How hard are you running after what God has called you to? Are you filled with the Spirit, alive and ecstatic? Or are you restless and discontent, just like these dry bones, kind of just standing around? I think that we have a call before us, and that this call is important, and it is a great call upon our lives. We must be attentive to that calling. And I think by remaining faithful to His call and consistently proclaiming His word, lives will be changed. Lives will be changed. How many of you have ever been to the zoo? Any zoo goers here? A few of us. Well, I grew up in St. Louis, and you know, there's a St. Louis Zoo, and so we used to go there often to see all the animals. And we would take field trips. I always liked the monkey cages. I don't know what your favorite animals were. The monkeys were good. Have you ever noticed the names they give to groups of animals? You know, when they group them together, there's always these different names. Well, here's a few examples. Ants are a colony. Birds, you know, birds are a flock. Fish are a school. Whales are a pod. Crows, this is interesting, they're called a murder. Crows are a murder. Owls are a parliament. Parliament of owls. Buzzards, everyone's going to laugh at this one, they're called a committee. Committee of buzzards. A tiger, a bunch of tigers together, is called an ambush. You know, an ambush. This is the one that I think is the most interesting, though. A group of rhinoceroses, a group of rhinos. Anyone know what they're called? They're called a crash. Interesting. You see, a rhino can run up to 30 miles an hour, but they can only see 30 feet in front of them. So think about that for a second. 30 miles an hour, only 30 feet. So that's pretty poor visibility. So they've got this big horn, don't they? this big, gigantic horn. And so you know what? They just take off charging, and thus the name Crash. They've got this big horn pointing the way, and they've got nothing to fear. They run ahead in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the roadblocks, in spite of the difficulties. In spite of all of these things, they run ahead. How hard are we running? Are we running like these rhinos? And the truth is, we can see much further ahead because of the Lord. Because Christ has already gone ahead of us and prepared the way for us. So we don't have anything to fear. How hard are we running? Are we living like a pile of bones, dried up, tired, restless, discontent? Or are we alive? Are we attentive to what God is calling us to? Are we hearing His word? Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We should stop standing still, and we should start running the race that God has called us to. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have gone before us, and that we have nothing to fear, that we can move forward and be alive in our calling, that we have died to sin, and we are alive in Christ. May You be praised this day. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.